My buddy.
Coming up on TMS, you should never do that to our shared workout equipment.
North Korea confirms it landed a man on the sun.
Not kidding either. Nun who had a baby thought it was just a bad taco or something.
140 drop into a well is nothing for this kid.
Feet should have been on there. I should have put feet.
Okay, I wonder what he was dropping 140 of.
Brian is not to blame for that reading. That was me. New Cosby sitcom is coming.
Oh, Arnold freaks everyone out with his fake mustache.
Bieber busted for DUI and drag racing.
Uh-oh, I can relate. Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Say, what a pretty park. But there's no time for loafing. We're on the way to Mrs. Smith's. Here we are. It's the back door for us. We'll find her in the kitchen. What did I tell you? She's doing her dishes. Look here, Mrs. Smith. Hold on to that towel. Let those darn dishes dry by themselves. 15 minutes later. Gosh, I suppose I should have known. Look at that streaky dishpan film. In the movies, we can take film off this way. But since you haven't Hollywood technique handy, let this smart woman show you another more practical way. She uses Dreft, remarkable new suds improvement. And here's what happens when these dishes have been rinsed and allowed to dry by themselves.
What do you think, meat and potato man?
The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
I am not a robot. I am a unicorn. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. It's The Morning Stream. Blah, blah, blah. You know the drill.
That's Scott Johnson.
That's Brian Ibbett. Yeah. What's going on?
Not a whole lot.
Really?
I'm excited for the weekend. You know, I'm excited for the weekend. In 36 hours, I'm going to be in Austin, Texas. Getting ready for the Geek Bowl, the big trivia competition.
That's
where they're
right.
Giving away thousands and thousands of dollars, like $12,000 in prizes or in cash, I believe.
When do you leave for this? When's the day?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Fly out early, late, midday?
Midday. It's the best time to fly.
I agree. I prefer the midday.
You don't have to get up early, mm-hmm. but you also don't get to the place when it's dark and late and all that stuff.
Yep. And there seems to be less people there.
Right, yeah, because you don't get your business travelers mm-hmm. who always go, we usually go first thing in the morning.
Yeah, or red eye, they usually do one of the other.
Right, you do get your vacation travelers, though, right around that same time in midday.
Yeah, that's true. Depends on, and it's, you know, if you time yourself the good, you don't want to do it spring break, I guess is the point.
Oh, gosh, no.
Yeah, that'd be real bad. But I like
heaven,
it. I like
heavens,
it.
No.
You can have like three poos before you go.
Right there at the airport in three different bathrooms. And I know, that's like George Costanza. I know where the good bathrooms are Denver International Airport.
I do too. It's all like international. It's like, yep, that's my favorite. And I know there's not a ton of people in there.
Right, exactly.
And it's always clean. So there you have it.
Exactly.
I hold in my hand. You can't see this yet, but the delay will kick in. Right. I have four copies that just arrived. Used copies, which is fantastic. All bought in some bargain bin for like $2. Mm-hmm. Copies of Tom Cruise's Minority Report.
Oh, awesome.
So Film Sack getting ready to do Brian Dunaway's most hated movie he's ever seen. Pretty excited about it. So nice. I'll be sending that out to you guys here shortly.
Do they get Blu-ray?
Nope, they're all DVDs. No Blu-ray.
Widescreen, standard definition. Are you kidding me?
Well, for me, it won't matter because I do it on a computer.
Cheapskate, son of... No, I'm just kidding.
Great picture here.
I got to complain about the generosity of people who want, you know, sending us movies and stuff. Oh, my God. Could you have sprung the extra $20 for Blu-ray?
The kindness of strangers,
$80
man.
Total?
Kindness of strangers. I mean, what's crazy is this movie was made in... I can't read that because my new eyes...
96?
2003, I want to say.
Oh, wow. It was after the 2000s.
I want to say it was... it's still like 10 years old.
Wow.
10 years old.
10 years old.
I'm going to emphasize wrong words all day today. Anyway, you'll be getting yours soon, and there's a fine photo on the back of Tom Cruise riding a Neil McDonough while he rises up to the street.
I forget that that old Blue Eyes was in that one.
Yeah, puke stick. Look out for that. All right. So, anyway, welcome. It's the morning stream. It's the end of the week. I like Thursdays because Wendy will be here for Therapy Thursday, but also because I just kind of get this feeling of, okay, now I get ready for the weekend ahead.
The weekend, yeah, exactly. No, it's totally true. Even though there's a whole day between mm-hmm. now and really when the weekend starts, mm-hmm. the Thursday TMS feels like I get through this, yep. I do a Coverville, the yep. weekend begins.
Totally. And, you know, Fridays are a little rough for me, busy-wise, because tonight I've got a Comic Dorks at 7. I got Raid after that, which I'm determined to be at.
Oh, good.
I got then the instance in the morning, current geek in the afternoon, and a final score somewhere in between all that.
Wow.
So there's still plenty to do.
Yeah.
In fact, there's like a week's worth of TMS to do in about a day. But somehow still I look at that fondly and get excited about it. And
cool. Well, I'm iffy about Raid tonight just with the travel tomorrow. But
Oh, yeah. That's true.
A little time to spend with the family before I go.
Who will tank the floor, Brian? Who will tank
the floor?
I know.
Well, plus you guys are – oh, I'm so excited because the FERT team, the FERT Raid team, is going into uncharted new territory that I've not seen.
Is that tonight? We're going in tonight?
I think so. I think you'll be going
to
the third wing.
I don't want to do the shore thing again. That'd be great.
Oh, God. I hate the trash that you have to go through in there and right when you walk in the gates of Orgrimmar.
You like that, Twitch? Yes. You like that?
Well, the 94% of you who don't play World of Warcraft, this has been Video Game Talk.
That's right, Twitch. That's right. Okay. Hey, reminder, get your Oscar votes in now at tiny.cc/TMSOscars. You can help pick who you think the winners will be, and we'll have some sort of prize package.
You don't help anything. No, you don't help pick who the winners
You don't really help. Yeah, you're not involved in the process.
Unless you're a screenwriter named...
Jim J. Bullock.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get to pick your picks and maybe win something. But you don't have to do it right away. You know, if you do want to go see some of the movies or wait and see what the Vegas odds are or things like that, then you're perfectly welcome.
And they do that, right? Vegas has odds on all this stuff.
I don't think they can because I think that there's people who do know. So it would be pretty bad for somebody who works for the Academy to say, all right, I'd like to put $200 on Gravity for Best Picture. Let me put another $200 on Bradley Cooper Best Actor.
I've got no previous knowledge of any of this.
I just came in here randomly to your casino. Is this what you do here? Okay. Give me the hard line on Amy Adams for...
I think she's okay. That's great. I want to see this man that we're making for. anyway, you want to be a part of the contest, I should say, tiny.cc/TMSOscars and, put who you think's going to win.
Yeah. Don't win
do
something.
It. You and will just win do it something. Once. You're only going to get in once. So don't try to do no shenanigans.
There'll be a package containing tweaked audio earbuds at the very least with a t-shirt.
Yep. All that and more.
DVD copy of Minority Report.
Yep, right.
Signed by Brian Dunaway.
After I rip this so I can do the digital thing, they can have mine, I guess. I don't want to keep a DVD version, but anyway. So, a couple quick things. At the gym, doing the weights now, right? Got the jogging and the treadmill business at home. And now we also have a free kind of community center gym thing. Mm-hmm. So we're always off to the gym.
Which makes me wonder. I mean, I hear you talking about going to the gym, but you do have, like, do you just have the treadmill downstairs?
I have a treadmill and I have some free weight, like hand weights and stuff like that. But so I can do, you know, biceps, triceps, and things like that. But I don't have any, like,
Nautilus
chesty
equipment.
Stuff or, you know, pull-up-y things or any of that.
Sure.
Listen to all the high-tech fitness equipment words coming out of me.
Pull-up-y stuff.
Yeah. All those pull-up-y stuffs.
Right.
So they've got all, you know, the full array, and it's free, so you may as well take advantage of it. It's just up the road. Like, in the summer, I can walk there. So we're in there, and there's a lot of, you know, I listen to any Seinfeld or any observational comics routine, and you'll know that gyms are places with all sorts of unspoken rules, right? Wipe down your equipment.
Right, yes. Don't sweat all over it and then not wipe it down.
Don't leave your shit on one, you know.
Don't bogart the treadmill.
Yes, all that stuff and more.
Do you think that Humphrey Bogart was really bad about hoarding or something? Is that why that term...
Oh, the Bogart, that thing?
Bogarting, yeah.
It must be. Well, you know what? That's an interesting question. What is the source of the Bogart term? Bogarting.
Frankly, my dear, I'm going to be holding on to this doobie.
Bogarting origin. We're going to find out.
Oh, except I just did Rhett Butler.
Oh, yeah, that was the
No. That was, did I do Gone with the Wind or did I do Casablanca?
I did Gone with the Wind.
Yeah. Yes, okay.
Yeah, I haven't
Good thing I'm going to a trivia competition in 2 days.
Oh, here it is. From an actor from Dutch surname Bogart, Keeper of the Orchard, by the way, is the origin of Bogart.
Keeper of the Orchard, really?
Yep. From also, let's see. Originally English boom peep. Senses of selfishness and excess evolved from the original 1960s use of keep a joint in the mouth instead of passing it on, recalling the actor's signature practice of constantly keeping a cigarette dangling out of his mouth, even while talking. Other senses of bullying or tough guy originated in the 60s and recall the actor's various movie roles. Another potential origin of the vernacular comes from Humphrey Bogart's role in The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, in which his character Dobbs becomes increasingly selfish with the gold mine that he shares with his two partners. So it has got some deep roots in an era that you and I barely know.
Right.
That's great.
Very interesting. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Didn't expect to get there. But anyway, so I'm at the gym.
Yes. Sorry.
And no, it's all good. You wipe stuff down. You put your towels away. You don't leave your shite everywhere. You shouldn't come all stinky. And, you know, there's things you should do. Right. And for the most part, got it covered. Everybody's good. People are wiping stuff down. It's a very clean gym environment. No problems. People look, while the people are running on the track, they avoid getting run over by them. It's a nice decorum there at the gym there. Except for this one experience.
Okay.
I'm waiting for dude sitting in a, I don't know what you call it, but you sit in it, you hold your arms like this, and you pull these weights forward, and it's for your chest.
Okay.
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
And he's in his late 60s, and I'm going, yeah, man, look at you out here in your late 60s working out, you know? Still kicking it. Not giving up. Not a couch potato. You're out here working out late 60s. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed with you, but I'm going to wait for you to be done.
Right,
because I want to be next on that machine. So I'll just wait right over here a few feet from you, kind of listen to my podcast I'm listening to.
I was going to say, what do you pretend you're doing so that you're not just sitting there staring at him waiting for him to get off the machine?
Looking at my phone.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, just checking, looking at Twitter or something. But really out of the corner of my eye, I'm waiting for dude to get up.
Right.
So he's doing his clank, clank, and he finishes like four reps in or whatever. He sits there for a second, and I glance over kind of like, okay, this is it. This is my chance. He's getting off, and this will be my machine now, right? He sits there for a minute, kind of looks at the floor, looks up, and then goes. And then he gets up and leaves. Then he gets up.
Just waiting to work that one out.
Yep. And now I'm left going, and he knows I'm standing there kind of waiting. I have to go use this thing. And I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I couldn't sit down there then. I'm like, I don't even know. That thing could have been the most odorless fart ever created. Right. It could have been a puff of air from something else. It doesn't matter. I can't sit there now. I'm done. He's tainted my chest compression machine.
Maybe he was Mr. Foreshadowing, and he was warning you about that when he was driving next to you the other day.
Maybe. Gas fart. Yeah, fart gas. That's it. I keep getting it backwards. It's very interesting. All right, we're going to take a quick call from our original Black fan, JJ. He's on the line now. JJ, what's up, man?
What is going on, Scott and Brian? How you guys doing today?
JJ, how you doing, man?
No problem. How's West Virginia / Kentucky / Tennessee / all the cities?
And Florida.
Florida, all the places you don't live.
Everybody's like, ever since they've been listening to TMS, they're probably like, man, JJ sure moves around a lot. Yeah.
Guys in every state on the Eastern Seaboard. South. It's crazy. I don't know why I keep doing that, but what brings you to our humble commode this morning, dude?
I have some bad news, man. I have some bad news. I don't want you to bring the show down.
Oh, no. What's bad news? What happened?
Yeah, man. Renee and I, we're not going to be able to make it to Nerdtacular 2014, man.
What?
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm sensing what's coming that's not bad news.
I got to hunt down a hot dog vendor.
Yeah! We're going to get baby Valentine.
You're going to get two.
Twins?
We're having twins.
Wait, that's exactly what the hot dog vendor predicted. No way.
That's crazy.
You're about the twins, right?
Yep. Oh. He was the one about the twins.
You're kidding about the twins.
No, he's serious. You're getting twins.
No,
right?
I'm serious. We're having twins.
Oh, my God. That's exactly what he predicted. Like at Dragon Con, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
You guys were doing the whole fertility business, right? That definitely increased your chances of the whole twin thing happening.
Yeah. So we won't know if, because they did put two embryos in, mm-hmm. we don't know if they both survived or one split off, but we will know. And for those medical people, they are die twins, so they have their own sac and they're in their own little bubble.
Does that mean they're both boys?
They could be fraternal as opposed to identical, right?
Right.
Is that the way that works?
Yeah, I mean, they could potentially be identical. I think the doctor, because we're actually at the doctor's office, and I stepped out real quick.
Oh, great.
Renee was like, you need to go call right now. I was okay.
That's
awesome. Okay.
That's really exciting, man. Congratulations.
Oh, congratulations. That is so cool.
Yeah, if we have to miss you at Nerdtacular for any reason, this is a good one.
Hey, but hey, when we come to 2015, it'll be like double Valentine. I mean, there'll be like two more black people there.
So we'll have a total of four at Nerdtacular. That's fantastic. That's not true. Yeah. There's usually a few more.
I'm calling my other fellow black members that are out in the tadpool and listening to this. Y'all need to go to Nerdtacular to 14 and represent.
Yeah, you gotta hold up the tent, man. That's really exciting. Tell Renee we're really stoked, and tell the hot dog vendor I'm freaked out by that guy.
I am too.
I'm gonna hunt him down and be like, "Give me your number. I need a number so I can go buy this Powerball ticket."
I was gonna say, yeah. Ask the vendor about the upcoming football game,
yeah.
Super Bowl.
You mean the Super Bowl? That one, yeah. Not the Pro Bowl. We're not worried about
that. And we want to share it with you guys too, because I mean, we kind of shared the whole story here, and was like, what better way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's so cool.
That's really rad, dude. Seriously, I'm beyond excited for you guys, and Kim's gonna freak out. She's going to think that's amazing.
Wow.
I know you guys have been trying hard for this. I know it's been a big goal and a plan and a dream, and it's nice to see it come to fruition. So nothing but good health and happiness moving forward.
Yes.
Keep us informed.
You will.
Commiserate with her every day. When she has to yak, you have to go do a complimentary yak.
Well, she has not. Well, she's 12 weeks today, so she has not.
Oh,
had
wow.
any morning sickness at all.
Because she's tough as nails, man.
She's freaking amazing. I mean, those baby-making machine.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude. I'm going to go puke just because I'm thinking about it. So that's the difference between her and me.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's awesome. Keep us informed, will you?
We will.
All right.
We definitely will.
Give our best to her. And
congratulations again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if folks want to follow what's going on, if we don't call in, they can also see what we're doing over at valentinecast.com.
Yeah. So. Oh, cool. Yeah, you're going to keep that up. That's great.
Yeah, well, as much as we can. We all know what's going to happen after we have the kids.
That's great, dude.
And Nicole, we get to be on Nerd Parents. Well, actually, I'm already a parent, but
sure.
this will be 4 and 5 for me.
Yeah, no, that's great. but that's cool, man. Keep awesome. Up the awesome, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
See you, man.
Bye-bye. Oh, how cool.
Isn't that great?
That is.
I'm excited for those guys. They've been trying for a while now.
Yeah. I'm going to miss them in Nerdtacular. Holy cow, B4 Tank Girl's not going to be in Nerdtacular.
What?
And,
why? What?
The Valentine's. I know. There was something that is conflicting for her, unfortunately.
Well, I guess we'll have to just send you pictures, man. I don't know what else to do.
So, I have some ideas, so I'll talk to them offline about that.
All right, great. Sounds good to me. There's that. Farting on equipment. Oh, one more thing. North Korea has confirmed... This just in. Beep, 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 beep. It has landed a man on the sun.
Oh, thank goodness.
This is not a Onion article. This is the North Korean press, government-controlled press, actually reporting that North Korea has landed a man on the sun. 17-year-old Hung Tu-gong, Il-gong. It says, it must be ill because it's two eyes.
It's all Woodstock talk is what that is.
It is. Starting his journey at 3 a.m. this morning, traveling alone to reach our nearest star. The journey took just 4 hours.
Oh, sure. Of course. Yeah. Well, that makes sense because of the natural sunspot gravitational activity. That
steeped in science.
Right.
In
exactly.
Reality here. Mm-hmm. was on the surface of the sun, is coming back, and is the... They are calling it the greatest human achievement of all time.
Sure.
I would agree. I mean, goodness.
Golly. Are there people in North Korea who believe this? Like, all right, he's on the sun. We've done it.
Oh, guarantee it. Dude, they shut everything else out. This is all you have from... This is all you ever hear? This is the truth to you.
It's got
to
be basic science to look at this bright glowing ball of fire in the sky. And
for me and you, because you and I know better. For them, where they've lived under multiple regimes of absolute terror and lies and bullcrap. To then, like, I'll never forget that.
We landed on the dark side of the sun. That you're looking at the front. Back is.
I will never forget that video. I'll never forget that documentary where those doctors showed up in North Korea, performed all those cataract surgeries on blind people, and all they could do was put up a picture in this room of the great leader and praise him and worship him and death to America and death to the Western world. And I'm like, the Western world just came in here and gave your eyesight back. But they don't, it's just so, it's ass backwards. Here's the quote. "We are very delighted to announce a successful mission to put man on the sun. North Korea has beaten every other country in the world to the sun. Hung Il-gong is a hero and deserves a hero's welcome when he returns home later this evening.
and have plenty of aloe vera on him.
Uh-huh, right. I hope you wore your SPF 100. Anyway, that's awesome. What's going on there.
I love that.
That's pretty good, right?
Let's give him a hero's welcome, shall we?
Yeah.
I say.
I think you should. If he really went to the sun, by all means, I will agree.
Wow.
This is the first time I've ever agreed with North Korea. If this actually happened, give that guy a hero's welcome.
It's like Packlids.
I know, right? They are Packlids. Oh my gosh, you've done it. You figured it out. The answer is here. It's been in front of us the entire time. All right, let's call Daryl and do this damn thing.
Landed on the
sun. On the sun. You must make it go. It's Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by.
Brought to you. Get your Z's ready, folks. Two guys, two assignments. Join Matt and Frank each week as they dive into the depths of geeky pop culture, challenging each other to the best or worst in comics, games, TV, and movies. Listen in as they defend why they love it or want to kill it with fire each week on Battle Geeks. Check us out over at battlegeeks.com. That's Battle Geeks with a Z.
With a Z, baby. No, hard to remember.
No.
Shouldn't eat this apple right now.
That's how Battletoads was spelled, too, wasn't it? Wasn't Battletoads with a Z? Or
yeah,
was
I want
it
to say it had a Z. That feels like a 90s thing to do to a video game. I think you're probably right. I like Battletoads. That was a good game.
Never saw a second of that game.
Really? Ever?
Yeah, never.
Oh, did you ever play the sequel Battle Chodes? That was pretty good. Yeah.
Nope.
A lot of testicles. Daryl?
Ain't familiar with that game.
Speak. Nicely done. Daryl Skeel. Speaking of lots of testicles, he is here with us now. He was his high school nickname, Lots of Testicle Skeels. Or L-O-T, Lot, they called him for short. Daryl, it's good to have you back, and we're here to do Stump a Trek Nerd. You know it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You seem
and now that they've landed a man on this... Now that they've landed a man on the sun, they can mine it, like in Futurama.
That's right. What were they mining it for in Futurama? I can't remember what they were getting out of it.
Oh, I don't remember either.
Yeah. That was a pretty good joke, though.
This
that whole thing was good.
A Futurama nerd.
No. That's a great episode, though. It's a newer one. People
but darn, yeah, our great sun race is now over.
Yeah, thankfully. I mean, it's very, we didn't get there first, but at least we can, now we have a start. We can know where to aim. We can get there. Sputnik may have beat us the first time, but damn it. We were way better than them, so why not? Let's go to the sun.
We can go try and land a man on the black hole.
Yeah. Houston, the flag keeps burning when we stick it in there. We don't know what to do. I don't know why I made the sound before he was done talking. All right, Daryl, it's Stump a Trek Nerd time. It's a Next Generation question today. I know you're up to the challenge, so I'm going to lay it before you like a feast, really. Here it is. In the Next Generation episode, A Matter of Perspective, Picard is seeing painting. I think it means he's seen painting, right? Yeah, must be.
He has seen painting.
Data enters and takes a look at Picard's painting. He then looks at some others before going back to Picard's. He says Picard has used a certain art style in his painting. What style does Data say Picard used? Is it A, Dadaism? Dadaism.
Dadaism.
Dadaism. I took art history. What's wrong with that?
I did.
I had like a whole course in that.
I know.
B, Cubism. C, Surrealism, or D, Expressionism. I did not remember Dadaism.
Yeah, Dada was like...
That's a baby.
Yeah, baby painting, finger painting.
You know, I just crashed my car again. Now I'm going to Disneyland.
Oh.
That was the band Dada.
Right.
No, wasn't Salvador Dali Dadaism?
No, that was Surrealism.
Oh, he was Surrealism. That's right.
Yeah.
It was just like a you know, dark colors and... Mm. Angles and
highly
forgettable, recognizable, apparently. and exactly.
I don't remember that. The rest of them are very fresh in my mind. And I was a big Surrealism fan. I drew.
It's like the anti-art movement.
Mm-hmm. What Dadaism was?
Yeah.
I don't like the name of it because I feel like it's stupid. Daryl, so there's your options. That dumb one: Cubism, Surrealism, and Expressionism. Those are your oshams. Those are your options. I'm just going to keep talking as if I didn't screw that up. Let's play this game.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Daryl doesn't have these, but Brian and I have in our hands something called the Dulce Elizabeth.
Dulce Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, which is tableta. And I believe...
Huh, that's Spanish for light brown hockey puck.
Yeah, light brown dirt patty. We're going to open it, and it just looks like a big, like the worst kind of sugar cookie, really.
It doesn't even look like a sugar cookie. It's like a patty of...
Oh, there's no like smiley.
Caramel patty. No, it's almost like a...
It's like dough. It's like uncooked dough.
Yeah.
Okay, so chat room, there it is. A big N on
uncooked
it.
Uncooked sugar cookie.
A big N or a U, I suppose, if you're looking at it that way.
Well, right. It's like the Greek symbol for brown hockey puck.
Yeah, did they just stamp that with some guy's hand? I mean, like, look at this is just haphazard. I don't feel good about this. I think there's fingerprints on the back. I could be wrong. You seen that?
Yes, they might be mine.
Oh, well, no. I mean, I see what you mean on the one you have. I was like, they can't be yours on mine. but they're more than I've touched it here. I haven't touched the back very much, and they're like, that's disconcerting. All right, whatever. I'm going to do it for the team. We're going to do it for the thing. I'm going to just take a little piece. Oh, this looks like raw dough to me.
I think it's just going to be like a, like marzipan kind of thing, but a caramel marzipan kind of thing.
It either expires September of February 2014 or the 17th of Dick 2013.
That's when it's funny. It's like it's a starting date.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's a manufactured date.
This one began here and it better end here.
Before this date, it's going to be horrible.
All right. Let's give it a try. I feel really weird about this. Daryl, I wish you had this.
I'm not sure I wish that.
Oh, I'm done with that. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like flavored caulking material.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, that is bad. I'm not.
That's real bad. Ugh. Into the can with you, buddy. Oh, man. I mean, listen, that is the spirit of what we do here.
It is, totally.
We're supposed to try things we wouldn't normally try, but.
And we are saying a big thank you to.
Crazy. No.
Randy and Ramsey in Orlando.
Right. Who have a color copier with a real problem. Look at that horizontal line business they got.
Oh, actually, he talks about Dulce Elizabeth is a brand name for the Tableta, which is a sweet milk candy.
No, it isn't. It's it's dirt. It's horrible. I don't like it.
Actually, we never did read his email, though. Can I read it really quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Dear Salchicha Baleada y Dona. I've been a longtime frog panter, and my husband has recently started listening to TMS as well. He's originally from Honduras, and we went to visit his family for Christmas last month. While we were there, we searched for some local foods for you all. Love the abuelo, though, Randy and Ramsey in Orlando.
Wow. And then she explains what all this is. Yeah.
Salchicha means sausage.
Oh. Okay. So I'm a sausage.
Your sausage, baleada, are one of Honduras' most original and popular foods. The baleada is a wheat flour tortilla, often quite thick, folded in half and filled with mashed fried beans. Sounds good.
Yeah.
And dona means donut and is pronounced dona.
So Dunkin' Dona. Got it.
I've been to Roatan in the Honduras, the island just off the coast of the Honduras, and it is beautiful
is
out
it?
There.
Wow.
Absolutely beautiful.
Well, I hear the name, I hear Honduras, and I just think of like dudes in the jungle with AK-47s for some reason.
Mm.
That's probably a very bad
stereotype. Oh, yeah, we saw quite a few of those.
Oh, no, did you? Okay, great.
No, not really.
I love that gun is still in popular use and that it has wood on it. I think that we here in America, no more guns with wood, But there, or wherever AKs are found, wood. Big old wood stock. I think that's great. It's such a great throwback.
It is, yeah.
Daryl, throw us back to a time when someone was born in the Star Trek universe that we could now celebrate today.
Okay, that would be Lou Antonio. He's 80 today. He played Lokai, which is one of the half-black, half-white guys, on the episode with the Riddler.
Right, the one that Jerry ate and got sick and had the 11-year no-barfing record broken. Oh, wait, that's a cookie on Seinfeld. Never mind. But yeah, the black-face, white-face combo guys, right?
Yeah.
Mm. They were always a little bit weird.
He's the lesser famous of the two.
How old is he?
80.
Nice. That's a good age. I found out today the 84-year-old dude my mom remarried after my dad died. Or didn't remarry, just married him. What do you call him? I'm not calling him stepdad, all right? I can't do it. He's just the guy my mom's with now.
Right.
He's
Well, legally he's a stepdad, but that doesn't mean you have to give him that
He's not new sequel legally old.
Oh, I don't even think legally he is.
That. Yeah, I don't know
he's
what he is.
He's just her husband.
Yeah, he's just he's her.
Isn't that a
he's her sugar daddy right now. That's nice. Terrible. But she he's getting four dental implants today. Four implanted teeth today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to, because he's the guy who will never take painkiller for his, when he gets dental work done. I wonder if he'll opt not to do that. Yeah. I don't know. Seems crazy because you're drilling into bone.
Yeah.
Okay. I know. No, I can't even deal with it. I was supposed to get an implant for the tooth I'm missing in the back, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I can't have them drilling a hole in my jaw. Not only that, they do that first, or they take the tooth out, drill the hole, put like some temporary hoo-ha in there. They don't even put the final tooth implant in until later when all the swelling goes down. So you have to do this thing twice. It's like a double ordeal. And then they screw it in. Screw it into your jaw.
Yeah.
F that. I'd rather take the place of an old man on a weight machine going, pfft. All right. Daryl, let's get to your question here. Back to the question. Matter of Perspective is the episode. And Picard's painting in a certain style. Historic art style. Dataism, Dadaism, B, Cubism, C, Surrealism, or D, Expressionism.
Oh, let's see. Well, I ruled out the first one right away, and I didn't even write it down.
Good, because it sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, not it may be the right one, but... I'm just saying. By the way, in the other three, here are how they go in my order of how much I like them. Surrealism, number one by far. That's my favorite kind of art. I love that. I love surrealism on any level from whoever does it. I think it's great. Then, a little ways down the list, expressionism, and then cubism, and then modernism, and then, what's the thing, what's his name did? Pollock. With the paint.
Oh, the splatterism.
Splatterisms, yes. The Ed Harrisisms, that's the one.
Right.
But
what
yeah.
was that called? Yeah.
I was Jackson that part Paul. Of modern? That wasn't modern, not modernism. It's not even the right word. I can't remember. It's been too long, man. I used to love that stuff, though. I was into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a big pointillism fan.
Pointillism is good.
George Surratt.
Yeah, that stuff's great.
It is, yeah.
There's another.
What is it when the guy. There was a guy that put paint in his rear and farted it on canvas. What was that? What style would that be?
I think that's
flatulism.
flatulism. Anilism.
The flatulism movement.
Yeah, the flatulism movement. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Put movement on there. Brilliant. So what do you think, Daryl? What tips your hat or something?
Okay. Surrealism. I don't think it was that. I'm just thinking cubism because that seems like a data-ish thing.
I think data would be into.
Yeah.
I think Mike was hoping you'd say datalism because it sounds like data.
Yeah.
I think he was trying to trick you there. I could be wrong, but we'll have to ask him. In the meantime, let's find out. Cubism is what you say. Let's see if what you say is correct.
Congratulations!
I'll be damned.
You're a winner!
Data says Picard's painting is of cubistic nature. Data is fairly harsh, but while critiquing the painting, here's what that went down like.
Interesting. Oh, thank you. In what way? While suggesting the free treatment of form usually attributed to Fauvism, this quite inappropriately attempts to juxtapose the disparate cubistic styles of Picasso and Leger. In addition, the use of color suggests a haphazard melange of clashing styles. Furthermore, the unsettling overtones of proto-Vulcan influences.
Thank you, Mr. Data.
You are welcome, sir. If I can be of further assistance.
No. Thank you.
No.
Oh.
Get off the ridge.
Yeah, you listen to that, and just as much as I like Avery Brooks,
yeah,
there's just such a difference in believability and delivery. And okay, I haven't gotten to the third. I haven't gotten to shaved head and right. goatee.
It gets better.
Cisco yet.
Yeah, it gets better.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I promise you that. It doesn't.
Every,
it's not that
every Cisco line in those first two seasons is delivered like, "You'll have to go to Quark's bar and find out for yourself." You know, it's like
he has a very unique style. There's no
very
question.
Stage mm-hmm. stage presence style.
Mm-hmm. And that never quite leaves. But it somehow gets more integrated, like mixed and meshed with
Jake, I don't want you playing with Nog anymore.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. He's actually kind of a hard voice to mimic.
He is. Yeah, he really
like,
is.
Like, I wouldn't even know how to, like, with all the other, you can kind of do a good Picard, you can do a Kirk, you Shatner, can do these yeah. guys, but I think he is maybe the hardest. You can even do a Janeway.
You can do Janeway. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you ever do Archer, you just sound like his Quantum Leap guy.
That's right.
So
we're in the what cluster? Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. So there you go. Daryl, congratulations. I think this is a so almost perfect week. You did 3 out of 4. It's not bad. We'll take it. You're still on the winning side of things. And today you did very well. That's because he's the Trek nerd, and he's also called that on Twitter, the Trek nerd on Twitter. You can follow him there. Or in addition to, you can listen to his podcast, This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Daryl, what are we playing today?
Well, here we go again with Star Trek Nut or Actual Nut.
Boo!
I mean, that's good. That sounds great. Or wait, we do have a theme. Here it is.
It's the back door for us.
All right. It's the back door for us.
That's the art style.
Great. Backdoorism.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Kava Nut.
Kava Nut.
Real Nut.
Yeah, I could have sworn I've heard of those. I'm gonna be the contrarian and say Star Trek thing though, just in case.
That's a good move because it is a Star Trek.
Damn
nut.
It! What the wow. crap? It's a Star Trek nut. Oh, you hung up on him. Didn't mean to
hang
do
up
that.
And then ask him a question.
Yeah,
very good.
Brilliant idea.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by, got USB Bitcoin miners you're looking to update? Or maybe you want to start mining but don't want to spend thousands of dollars on the hardware? Check out the Yellow Jacket at BitGTR. So let's do that again. Check out the Yellow Jacket at BitGTR.com, offering a stock hash rate of 1.8 to 2.2 gigahashes per second. We'll have tutorials up soon. Get 10% off with the code FROGMINER at checkout. Bitgratifter. Nice.
Bitgratifter.
I don't understand the whole Bitcoin thing. I know the basic gist of it, but
I do not understand it at all. I will admit fully that I am completely, every time I talk to somebody, like talking to Tom about it or anybody else who kind of gets it, I'm mm-hmm. like, I don't know what, this sounds like a dude made up a fake thing and people right. give a crap.
Right.
That's all it sounds
we're
like
willing
to me.
To pay for it. And here's the weird thing. The Sacramento Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Are now taking Bitcoin payments for tickets.
Oh.
They will allow you to buy your Sacramento Kings tickets with Bitcoin.
Weird.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm down with that. Hey, when did Gene Siskel die?
When?
Yeah. Do you remember when? It was 99. Yeah, 99. February 20th, 99.
Yeah, it was way earlier. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, I'm just weirded out because as we were talking there, I looked down at the Minority Report DVD. Mm-hmm. And it says, Steven Spielberg's Minority Report. Quote, two thumbs way up, a masterpiece, Ebert and Roper. Oh, Roper.
Oh, Roper, yeah.
Oh,
Roper
never
took over.
Mind. I thought it, in my head, I was reading that as Siskel.
Did you figure it out? Is it 2013 or
2003? 2002.
2002, okay, wow.
Wait, let me make sure. Yeah, 2002, June of that
That's
year.
That's crazy. I thought it was earlier than that, but
yeah.
When did Vanilla Sky come out?
I can tell you right now. When did, I loved the new Google Ask Question thing.
Mm.
Vanilla
2001
Sky. Is it 2001?
Yeah.
Yep, you're right. 2001 came out. I don't think I saw that yet. I still have not seen Vanilla Sky.
I did see Oblivion. We rented Oblivion. We've been kind of watching some of the lesser, less popular sci-fi things of last year. We saw Oblivion, After Earth, and Pacific Rim.
Is After Earth the turd everyone says it is?
It's not that bad, actually. You know, Will Smith is good in it. Jaden is okay. His acting's not fantastic, but...
Did he capitalize every word he said during his dialogue?
He did, yes.
Okay.
But I will say the concept, the stuff behind the movie and the technology and the action, actually not that bad. Worth seeing, I thought.
Hmm.
And I didn't think Oblivion was that bad either.
I've heard a lot of people who actually liked Oblivion. I heard a lot of people who really, really hated After Earth, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was, certainly wasn't the best thing I saw all year. I do, Elysium is probably next on our 2013 sci-fi list.
A lot of people like that for what it is doing on screen, but not what it's saying.
Okay.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
I cannot get Oblivion to come up on, gosh, Oblivion reviews.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah. Here we go. Well, Oblivion, Rotten Tomatoes. Okay. 2008? That's not it. Well, Shite Buckets. Forget it. That's not it. I can't find it. I don't know. Rotten Tomatoes is rotten today, and they suck.
Really?
Yeah, F off. I don't know why that's not working. I'm getting the wrong movie when it comes up. Anyway.
Let's see. 53% is what I'm getting.
Okay. Well, that's not terrible.
That's not horrible. Yeah.
That's half. I can deal with half. I'm usually okay with half. Mm-hmm. Anything lower than 48%, I go, okay.
After Earth came out. I think After Earth gets on that one.
I'll bet you it's under, I'm going to say it's under 20, maybe under 10.
Wow. 11%. Yeah.
It was really bad.
No love for After Earth.
Nope. Yeah, people were not happy with that. Nice. It's a good Will Smith. You got kind of jiggy with it right then.
We're on Earth. Woo! Woo!
Ha ha! Dink, 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 dink. A nun.
Yeah.
Gave birth. She gave, this is a bit in the news. She's,
thanks to Nicole Spagg for sending this over to us.
She was unaware of her pregnancy. A nun who gave birth to a baby boy in the central Italian city of Rieti.
Rieti, but I like your pronunciation way better.
Yeah. Sounds like something I'd ordered at Olive Garden. Where?
Fazoli's.
If we're there, they say if you're there, you're family. I don't believe it.
Yeah, they still make me pay. I don't think that's what family would do.
Doesn't feel like family at all.
Yeah.
Said she has no idea she was pregnant, according to a local media report. 31-year-old was rushed to a hospital with abdominal pains, which she thought were stomach cramps. The young mother, who is originally from El Salvador, which is Spanish for the Salvador, reportedly named her newborn Francis after the current pope. The mayor of Red Titty, Simone Petrangeli, has appealed.
Petrangeli,
thank you.
I don't know.
Petrangeli. Has appealed to the public and media to respect the woman's privacy. Well, of course, you should.
Yes.
The news has drawn international attention. Father. Yeah, of course. to the small city of 47,000 inhabitants. The nun called the ambulance on Wednesday morning. A few hours later, she gave birth to a healthy baby boy. I did not know I was pregnant, says she. I only felt stomach pain. She was quoted as saying by the ANSA news agency. So.
Yes.
A lot of people... There is a group of people who think that she is, that this is a sign of something.
The immaculate, right. Yet another immaculate conception.
Yeah. Like when people see, you know, Mary in a corn chip or Jesus on the back of a dog's butt or whatever.
This is why when the women's toilets are busy and full, you don't go into the men's toilets.
Yep. Don't
sit on the wrong seat and you get pregnant.
That's right. I've heard rumors that's how you do it. That's how you get pregnant. It's probably, whatever, man. This is, you can paint this any way you want, but
it's a different world in the last 2000 plus years of believability of the Immaculate Conception back then.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Believable.
The new toilet one is pretty, it makes a lot of sense. Emery Howard rescued, this is a kid, after falling 140 feet into a well. I'm in a well. Emery Howard is his name. He's a South Carolina boy. What's his powers?
South Carolina boy made partially of old people and young people who like golf. Invulnerabilities include buffets and sand. Perfect. Excelsior
has some proximity to a mediocre beach. Excelsior. Let's see.
Riddle Beach is really nice.
Is it all right? Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Brian Dunaway goes there.
Yeah.
He likes it.
I have too.
I've never been to Myrtle Beach. The boy was rescued after falling 140 feet into a well, breaking his arm and suffering hypothermia in the process. The Greenville Police Department. Oh, that's where Brian lives. Greenville.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
He's now saying that because he was a child, he has the energy to keep fighting through the two-hour ordeal that may have otherwise killed an adult. Emery Howard, age 11, of Greenville, was on the back porch of a vacant home Tuesday afternoon when he jumped on some boards covering a well. That's a South Carolina kid thing to do, isn't it? Fox Carolina reports he crashed down into the water, screaming in pain as he broke his arm. His friend, 12-year-old Larry Lindsay.
I'm just visualizing Short Round on the bridge at the end of Temple of Doom, where he's like jumping on the woods. See, very sturdy.
Oh, Dr. Jones, very sturdy. No time for love. So he broke through. His friend Larry. People name kids Larry still.
Larry. Wow.
Weird.
12-year-old Larry.
And the kid's name is Howard. So him, well, his last name's Howard. But anyway, Larry and Howard were exploring the area when it happened. I was scared. I didn't know what to do, said Lindsay. I thought it was a dream. Likely story, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay attempted to toss a rope to his friend, but said Howard was in too much pain to climb up on his own. Went and got authorities. I think you should have gotten the authorities first, but whatever.
Yeah, that would have been my first.
Who am I to say? I am here to tell you, though, that HelloFresh.com is here for your cooking needs. Make cooking fun again at HelloFresh.com. Go check out the site. Their chefs create these amazing recipes every week. You pick the ones you like, and they send you the exact farm fresh ingredients straight to your freaking door. Even if it includes meat and things that would expire normally, they come with little freezer boxes, and it's awesome. Visit HelloFresh.com and find out if they deliver to you. They're in a whole bunch of places, and they're expanding all the time. Get 50% off your first time use over there at HelloFresh.com by using the code MorningStream50.
That's right.
Do it today.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
They will not, however, deliver down a well. Celebrity Poop, are you a fan of movie news? Do you want to keep on track with the latest movie happenings from around the globe? Then listen to Off Track's podcast. Off Track's podcast is now available on iTunes. Simply search for Off Track's podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Off Track 3. Like us on Facebook. Search for Off Track's podcast and come visit our webpage at
OffTracksPodcast.com. Perfect. Look at this, everybody. Oh, the Pokemon and the Jello pudding.
The Coca-Cola. Theo, will you get down here and bring one of my sweaters with the fliss and floss and fliss and floss?
Don't let your sister play with a shotgun in that movie with what's his name?
Rudy.
Rudy. NBC is confirming that Bill Cosby is developing a possible new sitcom that he would star in. The deal brings the 76-year-old entertainer together with a writing staff to create a script for a comedy that casts Cosby as the patriarch of a multi-generational family. I'm all in for this.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Partially because I think and hope they go... I don't think this will be a three-camera sitcom laugh track piece of business. I'll bet this is straight up Modern Family slash... Mm-hmm. You know, the Bluth style kind sure. of non-laugh tracky sort of comedy.
Oh, I would hope so.
I would be all in for that.
Now, have you seen any of the new Robin Williams business, the crazy ones?
No. Is it good?
It's hit and miss. Mm. It started out pretty good, kind of dipped a little bit. This is all in one season, too. It's not even a full season yet. Mm. Then they added Brad Garrett for a few, and it kind of picked up a little bit. It's full of very attractive people and Robin Williams just eating up every, you know, chewing the scenery on every single scene he's in.
Wow. That seems okay on the surface, but I guess you'd have to make sure you had good writing so it's not just improv night with him every night.
It feels like it. You know, it feels like they just tell him where where they need him to stand and where the direction of the scene is going, and he just goes crazy.
By the way, Jerry Seinfeld, perhaps one of the greatest stand-up comedians of all time and certainly one of the most successful sitcoms of all time, said on one of his episodes of his Driving with Coffee in the Car with the People, that one?
Yes, Driving in Coffee with the Car with the People.
Right, that one. He said, if there was a Mount Rushmore to comedians, here is who would be on that mountain. Ready?
Okay.
See if any of these match what's in your head.
I would almost like to guess at
these. You guess, and I'll tell you if you get it right or wrong.
All right, I would say, if it's Seinfeld, I mean, let me guess, Lenny Bruce?
Nope.
All right, Bob Newhart?
Nope.
I'm going to say Bill Cosby because it probably wouldn't have come up if his face wasn't on there.
He's up there. Cosby's up there.
Who else does Jerry kind of idolize? This was a bad idea for me to guess. Never mind.
Judy Tenuti? just start naming names.
Kara Top?
That's the one. Gallagher. No, it's so he said Cosby.
Yeah.
Carlin. Richard Pryor.
Okay, yeah, of course.
Don Rickles.
Oh, Don Rickles. Okay, I was wondering who the real oldie was going to be, but
and his episode with him, because he was on an episode, which is why it came up. It was fantastic. That guy is he is a force to be reckoned with. I mean, he's pushing 90, and holy shite, he is just so sharp,
quick as ever. Yeah,
he's great. Huh. Anyway, So they're working on one. It'll be interesting.
Yakov Smirnoff. No, no.
Remember that 96 New Cosby sitcom on CBS?
The one that was just called Cosby.
Yeah, that wasn't
never
as good.
Of that. Uh-uh.
It wasn't a huge deal, I don't think.
No, the Cosby Show we watched all the time, but...
Oh, I didn't know this. He did a special on Comedy Central called Bill Cosby Far From Finished. I didn't see that. It was in November. I would have wanted to watch that.
I had no idea.
There's nothing I like more than Cosby on stage. It's insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Go see his Over 40 or whatever it's called on YouTube. The whole thing's there. It's so good. So good. I can't. Right. I don't know anybody could sit for 2 hours and make me laugh that hard.
All right, you're contracted to come up with your own Mount Rushmore of comedy. Who are the four faces you put on there?
I'd put Jerry up there.
Okay, agreed.
Big Jerry Seinfeld fan. Uh-huh. I would put Cosby up there.
Okay.
I would put... He still has a lot to prove, but I feel pretty good about Bill Burr being up there. The guy speaks to me.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he's dirty as hell. Works really blue, but he's really funny. And I would probably put my fourth guy... Oh, geez. Probably not Regan. Oh. Wow, that's a really hard question. Who would the other guy be? Because, I mean, the idea is to mix it up and not just be who... I never really got the Carlin probably...
Oh, but, see, yeah, Carlin I grew up on. I have.
Yeah,
had,
I'd probably have to put Carlin up there, but I don't. I missed the whole Richard Pryor thing. It didn't resonate with me for some reason. Sure.
I would expect you to put, like, you know, Patton Oswalt or Louis C.K.
You know who I would have put? I like those guys. I wouldn't put them up there, though. I feel like they owe too much to these other people. I'd put Letterman up there.
Oh,
Letterman's such a huge influence on me for so long. I think Dave would be good.
Well, that's a good one, too.
Yeah. You just forget that these guys were stand-up dudes at one point.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Really interesting episode on that show with
Howie Mandel. Would Howie Mandel be up there?
No, he would not be up there. If he was, he'd have to be at least 12 feet away from the other heads so he wouldn't catch the diseases or whatever.
His head would be wrapped in plastic.
Exactly. Some other quick news here. Arnold Schwarzenegger put on a fake mustache and surprised everybody at a local's gym, or a Gold's Gym at a local thing. He showed up.
I am in disguise. Who I am.
It says, basically, I'm going to play Howard, a physical fitness instructor, has become regional manager for Gold's Gym, says Arnold as he gets his fake mustache slapped to his face.
That's it. And that's the only thing, like, it's like the Clark Kent glasses.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
There's no, like, no, you know, different hair color or...
Mm-hmm.
God, at least on Undercover Boss, they really make you up. But it just looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger with a mustache.
Totally. It looks so stupid. He walked in there and he said this: stop being a baby. This is Gold's Gym, not a baby gym. The reaction was, you look so familiar to me. To which Arnold said, replies, maybe you're a giant idiot.
I take that back. They did give him Danny Trejo hair. Yeah, they
did. That's totally Danny Trejo hair. That's funny. Machete hair. Right. Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Finally, this is just in. This is breaking news, which is why we have three articles in the celebrity poop today. Arrested on suspicion of DUI and drag racing. Pop star Justin Bieber was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence and drag racing Thursday morning. So that's today in Miami Beach, probably early morning.
Yeah.
Miami Beach, Florida is where he was. He was driving a yellow Lamborghini that police saw drag racing a Ferrari in a residential area of Miami Beach. This is according to police spokesman Bobby Hernandez, said Bieber showed, quote, signs of impairment, quote, unquote, and failed a sobriety test. He told CNN he was then taken into custody and booked on drunken driving charges. The two SUVs actually blocked traffic from the 26th and Pine so that they could race on Pine Street, almost making it a makeshift racetrack. Okay. You need to stop the kid. I don't care how popular or rich he is. You cannot have thugs SUVs block a street.
Exactly. To block off a street so that they can drag race on it.
We would all be in jail for this. You cannot let the kid get away with shit like that.
How's the retirement going there, Justin?
Yeah. Yeah. How you like your early retirement? Right. You're only going to live to, well, whatever. I don't know. Death predictions here. But the kid's, he's a freaking mess. And I'm telling you, that is not cool. That's not cool. Blocking off streets because you think you got the power to do that, you little F ball.
Right, exactly.
Somebody needs to kick him square in the little noodle there.
Is that how it works in Canada?
Ugh. Doing it all for Jesus.
Well, at least, you know, they can just give him a cell without a toilet and just throw a bucket, a mop bucket in there, and he'll be just fine.
I suppose. Something like that. All right, we're going to take a break so we can get to Wendy here. We'll talk about Tweaked after that. So, yeah, break time. Song time? Get break time.
I do have something. So we didn't have any requests today, so I decided, all right, you know, when we don't have requests, and usually for Coverville, I pick something, like I usually base it on birthdays and stuff. So for today, instead of doing birthdays, we'll save those for Coverville, we're going to do things that did happen on this date in other years. Now, in 1971... So 42 years ago, George Harrison became the first solo Beatle to have a number one. When this song that we're going to be playing a cover of, made it to number one on the charts. And here's the interesting thing is this is the big controversial song, right? It's My Sweet Lord by George Harrison, which, there was a big court case about plagiarism with the melody because it was just like the Chiffons, He's So Fine.
Yep. I remember that.
And what this band did, let me switch over to my
other page. Couldn't they have sued him for I Got My Mind Set on You instead?
No, it's a cover, and he attributed the cover.
All right.
You just wanted him sued for that because it's such a bad song,
yes,
right?
If there's any justice in the world.
All right, fine. The band Brainpool decided to do a cover mashup and actually cover both songs together in one song on their album Stay Free. So here is Brainpool with their mashup cover of My Sweet Lord, He's So Fine. Enjoy.
Bye.
No trace of scummy dishpan film? They're sparkling clear without polishing. Now, look at those two glasses side by side. You can see the difference yourself. Ask your dealer for Dreft. Remember, you must be completely satisfied or return the box and get double your money back.
And a caveman.
The Morning Stream, now gluten-free.
It's like free-range chickens. You can't really prove it.
Right.
You know? Who knows if we're really gluten-free or not? I can't prove it.
It's some scary stuff. Well, what if they ate some wheat?
Oh, see? Already broke the thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we are going to call my sister Wendy.
Okay.
Okay.
And do a little Therapy Thursday.
All right.
And it might help somebody. You know, they may walk away from this better than they came.
Well, that's the whole goal.
Right.
You know,
that is the plan. Oh, hi. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Hello.
Good. She's single parenting today. Her husband's on a trip.
My word. What?
Yeah. How's Peter? Is he good?
He's good.
Yeah,
he's kind of good.
He's his birth was a much covered event here on the show.
Right.
Because he had his guts on the outside and all that.
Yes, as you do.
He's grown up quite a bit and is running around and is a total freak and totally cute and has great hair and all this stuff. But
his great hair.
his belly button, or the fake one they tried to give him, is really something to behold.
Yeah.
It's really an odd thing.
The eighth wonder of the world.
It kind of is. Like when you told us they were going to do that, which made sense, they do a little reconstructive little fake belly button, I thought, oh, well, that'll look like a real belly button. But it kind of doesn't. It looks like a crater in Nevada or something. It doesn't look right.
Like a blast site.
Yeah.
Some kind of, I know.
Yeah, like a dynamite blast to get down to the ore or something. It's weird.
Well, they don't really reconstruct it. They just pinch it off. And it's like it looks to me like a balloon. You know where a balloon scrunches up where you tie it without the knot? That's what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So here's the question. The reason I bring this up at all is when he gets a little older and he goes to the pool with his friends, is he going to have, I mean, are you going to have these like sort of pre-meetings and conversations with him about now? It's okay that everyone's got a, you know, belly button and yours is kind of weird. Don't worry about it. Don't let anyone pick on you or whatever. Are you afraid of those conversations when they come up?
Well, you know, it's all perspective and relative, right? So like, we're going to train him to make it cool. Like, well, look at your belly button, dude. Mine's cool. At least mine's a blah, blah, blah. I don't know exactly. We haven't really thought about it. I think part of it is how it looks on him now. I mean, it's huge on him now because it's scar tissue. So it's not going to grow.
Right.
So
right.
When he's older, this is his belly button, but his body will be 50 times bigger. So,
oh, good point. Yeah.
It absorbs. Yeah. I mean, your body, or not absorbs, but like your body grows around it and it kind of goes whoop, right up into your
then
stomach.
It's like this little thing. So now it's like the size of a quarter, maybe a half dollar.
Mm.
That's still kind of big, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, when he's older, he'll just have a crater belly button. You know, there's people who have had this. He's not the first one in the world. And they tend, back in the day, they didn't give you a belly button. You just had a line.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
So you're sort of, you know, Adam without a belly button.
That's
right?
What I want. I want like a flat, like nothing there, so people wonder if I'm a clone or not.
Yeah,
that's
right.
A cool idea.
A third nipple. So three nipples and no belly button.
Right, but I want that third nipple square in the middle of my back. I want it right in the back.
Like an eye.
Yeah, exactly. So I can itch it at school, just like crank it against the back of the thing.
Oh, gosh.
So let's talk about helping somebody real here. Not me and my weird ideas.
Yeah.
It's Wendy, actual therapist. She comes on the show. Full disclosure, she's my sister, but hey, that doesn't matter. Whatever, man. Doesn't impact this at all in any negative way.
Why do we need to disclose that?
We really don't. I just wasted everyone's time. So
yeah,
I'm going.
Well, if you disclose it, then when I can like psychoanalyze you, I think they think it's funnier.
Yeah, I think they do too.
Yeah, right.
Because
yeah.
I have more insight than a therapist would ever have on
me.
Know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
No, I always tell people. You know, how are you close to your siblings? I said, oh yeah, especially my sister Wendy. We you know, there's a connection there. And when we're at family get-togethers, we're always chatting and talking. And then I realize as I'm saying this that probably means in her role as therapist, she has way more dirt on me than anyone else in the family, which is great. I've been fooled this entire time. All right, moving on. We got this this letter here from a 28-year-old who asks a question and wants to remain anonymous. I feel like it's kind of got pieces in it from a lot of other things we've discussed on the show, but is unique in some ways as well. So here you go. It starts like this. I'm a 28-year-old. I'm married and have been for 2 years. I have a son that is 8 and is from a previous relationship, not marriage. He lives with his mom and I see him on most weekends. I feel my wife and I haven't fully integrated our lives yet, even now. I moved into her apartment with her almost a year before we got married, so we've been living together for nearly 3 years now. We still have separate bank accounts and split the bills like roommates would. We still refer to things as, quote, are you paying for it or am I, unquote. I've mentioned this to my wife, and it seems to make her uneasy to get a combined checking account. I'm not sure exactly why. Also, due to my work schedule changing a few months ago, we don't get to spend nearly as much quality time together as we would like to or as we used to. At this point, it just feels like we are going through the motions. Not much exciting is happening in the relationship. We definitely don't seem to have as much intimacy as we once did, and sex is a very rare occurrence. Any advice would be much appreciated. Thanks, and thanks for the great podcast content. Well, anonymous person, we're here to help you today. So, this seems like common to me. Or for some reason, it's just on the surface of it. If I had to make a guess, a lot of it,
or which parts of it seem
common?
Yeah,
what do you think is common about
it? I think the common part is getting married, being a couple years in, and going, oh,
this is it?
This is, yeah. Kind of things
just. What happened? All the sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that, but also just this whole, like, not wanting to integrate your lives too fully because that somehow means you're giving up something or something.
Tina and I do that. We still maintain separate bank accounts, and we split the bills, and, you know, basically I pay all the bills out of my account, but she gives me an amount every month that's kind of half but we still maintain our own accounts, and that way when I want to buy an Assassin's Creed game or she wants to buy something on Zulily, we don't have to worry about, oh, you're spending a lot of our money right now, you need to mellow it out. And it's prevented so many fights.
Yeah, well, I think that's, I don't even see that as a thing that's necessarily bad for a relationship. You know, teach his own. But Wendy, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm trying
to heard some sort of yell.
Somebody that was Pete.
Oh.
Somebody called through. Adam called through. Honey, how many times do I do a show at 9 a.m.? I'm just saying. And so it shuts everything down and goes silent, and it just rings. And so anyway, that's what.
That's what that was. All right.
Sorry about that.
No, anyway. It's all good. It's all good. So yes, I guess the part that seems common to me is just that feeling of this should have been a bigger deal than it turned out to be or something. And it sounds like he's feeling that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also, we don't really have a lot of normative storylines in our society of what to expect when you're expecting, what to expect your third year of marriage or your, you know, or, you know, what is kind of normal, meaning it's not a movie plot line. You're not going to feel all the excitement all the time, right? But then what should I expect? And I think part of that is, you know, if people take their own families of origin, you know, what was their parents' marriage like when they met their parents, which was years into it probably. And by the time they have any memories, it was plenty of years into it. So what have they witnessed as, you know, what does a marriage look like? And so maybe they're like, I'm not doing what my parents did. But if that's all you've known, and then you never get sort of any cultural references or your friends, I think this is, you know, how I love to rip on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so if my sepia toned Instagram photos show my marriage as this perfect, like
Norman Rockwell
or print out of, you know, some REI catalog or, you know, whatever, you're going to then think what's normal is bliss all the time, looking good all the time, having fun all the time, right?
Mm, yeah.
But then just go to dinner with a bunch of friends and watch one of the couples fight at dinner. And you go, ooh, at least we're not them. Yeah. So now you have some varying contrast of what social comparison, like what am I supposed to be doing? What is this supposed to feel like? Then in the moments of that marriage or that relationship, you're going to be bored and you're going to have days where the person is not all that attractive and here's the challenge is if you don't really have a baseline of, hey, what's this supposed to be like, or this is about right, or, you know, we're doing some good stuff together here, you start to think, well, we're not really that in love anymore. And the story you wrap around your daily experiences starts to become more and more negative, and there's probably more out there for me and I could be happier. And so that's the risk of where he is starting. He's on the beginning of a road that is a really common road. And then there's a really common freeway that people get on, which is we've just changed, or we don't get along anymore, or, you know, we're different. We've grown apart, or I love him, but I'm just not in love with him. If I had a dollar for every time I heard that.
Oh, you'd have at least $600.
At least, maybe $1,000. But it is this like common thing. And I always say, so tell me what in love means. And they're like, well, you know, and I'm like, you mean like the Bachelorette? They're all in love. Every single couple, that one girl and 20 guys are all in love. If that's the definition. So some of it is this normative idea and they don't have a lot of modeling. And historically, I think what couples have done is they commit, they stay together. Divorce is not an option. So they plow through and just kind of live miserably, right?
Yeah.
Or they do, which is what I think is ideal, is you chose this person originally. You vetted her for a year at least before you got married. And you're married now. So real life is going to happen and you're comfortable. So you've got to figure out how to stay in love, right?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't some magical thing you get or don't get. Everyone has enough pheromones, enough chemistry, enough whatever to get together in the first place. And if you've gotten together in the first place and committed to getting married, there's been enough chemical inducements to do so. But like anything, we kind of get used to what we have. Yeah. And so that's normal. But then to create and keep those feelings good, you've got to do a couple things. One is you got to keep doing new things. You cannot get into the we're just roommates. I mean, it sounds like the financial part, he feels like that's something that keeps them.
Right, that they haven't merged their lives together because their finances aren't merged together.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, Brian, your idea, that I call it the slush fund, I tell every couple to do it. I think it's genius because what you're doing is taking a lot of fights out of finances that don't need to be there. If you're managing your money well and there's slush fund for both. And it helps savers and spenders. Because savers can just hoard it, do nothing with it. And then the spender can spend it and there's no fighting or judgment, which I think is.
Yeah, I mean, you hear the top two things that couples fight about are money and sex. And if you split up the checking accounts, the number one, you don't fight about that. And number two, she doesn't see how much I spend on sex. So it works out.
Exactly. I saw that coming up the road.
Both sex and money, typically the fights are we don't have enough of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if the money thing, I mean, but it requires enough financial sense for you to both be living, having this discretionary fund on the side for each of you for that to work. So really, you're going to be doing your finances better than the average couple if you're able to pull off a slush fund in that regard, right? So it's actually a really good thing. So when I have couples do it, I'm like, hell, this will avoid fights. But my underlying thing is that they're also getting financial training in some form or another. Sometimes officially, I send couples a lot to courses because they're coming from two different families. They're managing differently, which is what I would say to this emailer is that what is her deal with the money? It may be nothing. It may be just, this is easy and we've done this forever and let's just keep doing it.
Yeah. Why change it now? It's too hard to change.
Yeah. Maybe that there really is something there for her that kind of freaks her out. Like marriage was a good commitment, but she's kind of freaked out by the financial commitment. She might be hearing stories from people who lost everything or had no credit in their maiden name and had a terrible divorce or, you know, she could have some storyline going there, but he needs to talk to her about it.
Hmm.
And then the other piece to that is, you know, for him, what does that mean? Does that mean she relies on him more? Does he need that? Is that sort of we need to feel more like a team? And he needs to talk to her about that. So it really isn't actually about the money and how they're handling it. Because there could be a couple that does this exact same thing and it really works for them, but there isn't some underlying thing going on. Then, you know, and it might just be it's a symbol that they're not fully integrated and he's craving that, right? So there's that piece, but there's also this other, like, rarely having sex after 3 years is kind of a red flag.
That's pretty
quick.
If they had a new baby, then that would make more sense, right? I mean, even if his son was living with them, then it would make more sense, but
sure.
Right. And did he say he was living with him? I didn't get that.
No, the lives with his mom, sees him some weekends.
Yeah. So the previous relationship mother has full custody and he just gets visitation.
Right. And he was not married to her, right?
No. That's what he said, yeah.
Which, you know, that is an important piece of his history that he probably needs to think about. So what happened in the first relationship? This is what everyone thinks. 100% of you listening think this right now, I promise you. Mm. That it's the other person's fault in the relationship.
Right.
And that I need to go on and find more happiness. And right. And somehow magically, I'm not taking all my crap with me.
Right.
And so that thing right there is, if you really want to be different from everyone around you, then say, okay, I clearly did something in that first relationship that I am bringing to this next one. And what is it? What can I do differently? How do I need to change that? And I don't know this for a fact, but I'm assuming, you know, if he really looks at that past relationship, he can say, well, we weren't a match, or she was crazy, or he'll have some reason that it didn't work out. But if he could only see his side and he could say, all right, what did I do emotionally, financially, communication wise? I mean, is there a pattern? I always tell people, you know, you have to be in your 30s at least. You have to have known that a decade can go by. Mm-hmm. And that a lot changes in a decade.
Yeah.
You know, like you just need some time before you understand this principle. And that is that what you're doing now as a 21-year-old, you're probably going to do some version of as a 31-year-old or a 41-year-old. And if it's a really negative pattern, it's going to start to accumulate and create some havoc in your life. And so at this point, he's 28. He's got a decade at least. He can remember his 18th birthday, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. You know, what patterns does he have in relationships? And is one of them disconnecting? Is one of them, like, he might think, oh, it's always them doing it, but maybe there's something he's inadvertently doing, unconsciously doing, that is impacting him now. And what is that thing? Because the greatest way to change a relationship is to change yourself and be really honest with yourself, to really look at it. One thing he can do that I think is really helpful for anyone who's sort of looking at their life going, why do I always have fill in the blank? Why do I always date the guy who fill in the blank? I mean, if really we could do a timeline and everyone seems the same, your interaction seems the same, you keep losing jobs, whatever it is, you know, if you take, and I think I've said this on the show years ago now, it's been years now, to get some kind of notepad and just keep track all day, even just a couple times a day, to write down what you think about something, like you have a thought, how it makes you feel, and then what you do. So for example, your thought is, my wife is, oh, we got a crying baby. Come here, dude. Come tell the people. Tell them how hard life is. Tell them. Say hi.
Aww.
Hi.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
He said hi.
He's so
okay,
cute.
Now go back. Aww. Away.
Go back away from me.
Okay, bye. He runs.
Away from the microphone.
That's awesome.
He runs the other direction. That was awesome.
This reminds me of a quote that I'd like to share with the audience, and that came from a recent episode in season 4 of Justified, which I love. I love that show like none other. And I love the language of it. And Raylan Givens, the deputy marshal that's the kind of the core of the show, had this comment to say to a guy who keeps getting himself in trouble. He says, if you run into an a-hole in the morning, you ran into an a-hole. You run into a-holes all day, you're the a-hole.
Exactly.
It's a pretty good truism, I think.
Exactly.
You know?
And so this idea that you're tracking your thinking and your feeling and your behavior, what you're doing is you're catching the themes. And you would be shocked in 1 week how obvious they become.
Right.
So if every day you wrote down, so I think my life sucks. The feeling is I'm overwhelmed and depressed. And then I eat a pan of brownies. Those are the three things I write down. So what I did with eating the pan of brownies is I added some endorphins and dopamine to the cycle. And I strengthened that connection between feeling crappy and that thought. And then making myself feel better. I didn't do one darn thing to make it different, right?
Yeah.
You also might find, okay, I get bored. I look at porn at work. I lose my job.
Right.
And then I go, you know, whatever it might be, you're going to start to see, okay, my thinking patterns, how, my emotional state, and those two things connected. And then how I behave, what I do to reinforce or not reinforce certain things. You're going to kind of get a sense of that.
Right.
So have I told you about my grocery store thing?
No. Maybe. I don't know. Was it the one where you yelled at the lady or something because someone was being racist?
No, okay. That hasn't happened in a while.
All right.
I didn't yell at a lady. So, okay, I have a client who came in the other day, and he, I said, so start telling me about your interactions with other people and, you know, whatever. And he had so many stories. He's 30 years old, probably had 15 stories where someone starts a fight with him. So one time he's in a Domino's waiting for a pizza. He's on the phone, just sitting there, and a guy walks in off the street and starts screaming at him. And like, you cut me off. And he's just ready to fight him. And he is kind of a punk, got a little military background, just stands up in his face, is like, you really want to do this? Mm. And I'm like, who does this happen to? Right? Yeah, yeah. Again and again and again. And he does. Okay. He's so dang loud. Anyway, he has a smirk. Like his face is just, he's got like a built-in smirk.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I think it's my smirk. And I'm like, okay. So he's one of his assignments is to kind of go see himself from an outside perspective, kind of ask other people, what's your interaction with me? And, you know, so he's getting this constant feedback of, you know, that everyone's a jerk and life is the fight, kind of the a-hole thing you're talking about. He's actually the a-hole, right? And so we're talking about that. So if do something similar, if you have this thing where you're consistently having interactions that are a thing and you can just be like, oh, that's funny. Really, there might be something more to it. It might be that people just drop a bunch of work on your desk and expect you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Could be that. It could be, you know, the way friends interact with you, and it can fluctuate. It doesn't always have to be, you know, the same through a day, but it can fluctuate. And if you can really look at some of that, like this guy, I don't know if his face can change. I mean, it really is like a permanent smirk. You kind of want to slap him. I get it. But mm-hmm. at the same time, does he have to stand up? Mm-hmm. Can he de-escalate? Can he add some skills to his life mm-hmm. to sort of shift this pattern?
Right.
So mine is in the grocery store. You guys might have your own version of this. Mine is a grocery store. I'm 5'10". I'm good size.
Sure.
And I go in a store and I tell you what, it's maybe one out of every three times. Mm. And I'm in the store a lot because I'm a mom. Mm. One out of every three times, somebody asks me for help.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, because really? You didn't think you work there?
I have wondered.
Because you don't smirk.
Do I have a smirk? Yeah. Am I wearing a red polo in Target?
Right.
Am I, you know, I know I'm not dressed like I work there.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so I tell Adam this and he thinks it's so funny. Well, one night we're out and we had to stop at the store. We're in a store. It's like 10 at night. Mm. And I'm standing next to him. He's 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
And this woman comes up to me and says, would you mind reaching that box on the top shelf?
To you?
Me?
To you?
To me.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, this is weird.
And he goes, oh my gosh, it really is real.
Oh, wow.
So another time I'm at the library and I am in workout clothes. I got a laptop. I got to crank out some writing and I'm sitting. I am far away from this computer and I hear, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, ma'am. And I look up and this woman and her husband are standing there by a computer, literally 5 feet away from me and said, do you know how this works? And I said,
the worst thing to be asked by someone who doesn't know how to use computers.
Come here, I'll look. And I get up and there are literally four of them right around there.
Mm.
And I get up and I go, oh, you just have to print this out. And I mean, it was pretty easy to fix. She's like, thanks, and leaves. And I'm like, what is it?
Yeah. Do you have a notion as to what this is? Cause that is pretty weird.
I think it's so he has a smirk. So people want to fight him. I think Adam always says, you just have this face. Like, I am happy to help you.
Yeah. I would agree that you do have that.
So,
face.
Which is fine. And it's fine. But to some extent, really, my back is turned to you. My mm-hmm. head is down at a laptop. Why are you asking me?
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know if it's an energy thing. Like, I am sure happy to get up from what I'm doing and help you print out your thing, lady.
I don't know. It's a weird vibe that you're putting off.
So mine is like, it's fine. Sometimes it's a tad annoying. But really, I am getting stuff off the top shelf of grocery stores everywhere I go.
That is so weird.
And I know. And this guy's getting fights. Do you guys have this?
I have this in the other way. I have the height problem that maybe Adam ran into, which is if you're not talking to me, I'm not necessarily expressing much. I'm just sort of dead face staring at the wall or looking for the thing I'm looking for in a store or whatever.
Yeah.
I've been told numerous times when people are brave enough to say so that they are very intimidated by me. And that seems so contrary to who I am, because I have no idea why they're intimidated by me. People say this at Nerdtacular. They'll see me standing there and feel, now that may be different because it's like, oh, he's on this show I like, and you know, maybe there's some other weird barrier there. But there are people who are strangers to me, or the kids' friends or something. They will always comment, your dad's scary. I'm like, really? Yeah, he's so tall and stuff. And he just looks like he can kill me.
He's like, tall.
You have an imposing figure.
I guess so. But it's so not inside of me. If anything, I've always felt short my whole life. Now that sounds a little weird because I'm 6'4".
Yeah.
And I'm taller than everyone I usually am around. I'll walk into a building and I'm the tallest guy. And that's just the way it is. But I never feel tall. I always feel a little small, to be honest. And just sort of, you know, I'm just not the kind of guy that throws weight around or acts like he's some big whatever. And while this thing may have protected me from getting bullied a lot in high school, inadvertently, I never really knew it was not happening, but whatever. It's this strange thing where people think I'm going to be trouble. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that is. I know it's, like Brian says, imposing figure, sure, but I feel like there's more to it. So maybe there is an energy or a vibe or a thing.
Right, or you're just making your starey face and it's grumpy looking.
Yeah, Dad always had that. Dad was the sweetest guy you'd ever meet, but he had a grumpy stare face.
Yeah, which he was able to probably keep himself. I mean, think of the crazy crap that happened to Dad the time he got carjacked.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, who does that happen to?
Hardly anybody. Yeah.
Again and again, weird. And then he handled it funny, and there's all those, but there's something that there's sort of themes for people, and you think, okay, I can't complain about my theme that people would like help in a store for me.
You've got a pretty good one, although it probably sucks when you're busy and you're trying to get through the store, but.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Right. Again, I'll help someone. Does anyone work here? I always want to say that. Does anyone else work here? So Brian, what about you? Cause you have the happiest face I've ever seen.
Yeah, I do. No, I get that a lot. I've made the mistake too of walking into a Target with a red shirt and khaki pants, and then then I've got to go look in the back. If there aren't enough Tide dishwashing detergents in the front, I have to go in the back and see if there are any more. But I do get that a lot. I do get a lot of people, and I don't get people who feel intimidated by me like Scott does.
Well, you have a good at rest face.
Like, yeah, you do.
When you're not emoting for something, mm-hmm. you look mm-hmm. just like a nice
my
guy.
My natural relaxed facial position is a Mona Lisa smile.
Yeah, mine is that. Mine's that damn grumpy cat.
This is a thing. It's called bitchy resting face. Have we heard of this?
No.
BRF.
Yeah. BRF.
Go look at it on YouTube. There is a public service announcement. You will wet your pants.
Oh my gosh, it is so funny.
Really? Bitchy resting face.
It's called bitchy resting face. And there's also a-hole resting face, but they kind of refer to it. But it is this, it's like a full ad. Like, are you having people? It's really funny.
I need to see this.
But then if you watch it, you'll think of all the people you know who have it. And it's kind of a curse, I think.
Well, it is, because it's nothing I can help. It's just my face. It's just the way the thing slacks. It's not like
watch the video.
My dad had it. My grandpa on his side had it. That's why he probably scared all of us all the time.
Oh, he was so scary.
He was so scary.
He had a-hole resting face.
But Grandpa Ward on the other side, he didn't have that. He kind of had it was a little bit robot-y looking, but it wasn't mean looking when it was slack.
He had like PTS Korean War face.
Yeah, he did have that. But he did. And he also had that I'm not going to talk for the rest of my life kind of face.
Like, yeah. Like, I've seen too much.
Yeah. I've seen some things. I'm going to smoke this pipe until it kills me. And pretty much did.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, that's good to know. I need to look up this.
And this has nothing to do with the emailer. However, good luck. No, what I would suggest for him, let me just sum up with that, look for themes. See if this is not connected to a relationship pattern. In your ripe old age of 28, you might already have a pattern, and that would be important to look at.
Yeah.
And then deal with, I think my dream would be, here you are at 3 years of marriage and things are just a little bit stale, that you get help now. Mm-hmm. Please don't wait till we're fighting or you accidentally have a baby or, things are, rough. And then you're like, well, I knew because at 3 years we weren't having sex.
Yeah.
Go figure it out now. It'll take you 2 or 3 sessions rather than 20.
Yeah.
And then just get some better communication skills. Talk about this money thing. That neutral third party can really be helpful to get to the bottom of that. Because the reason sex and money is not just because there's not enough and that's why people are fighting. It's also because they're very vulnerable topics for people.
Yeah.
You're vulnerable in different ways, but a lot of it comes from your your training in both of those areas.
Yeah.
And the way you were brought up, if that makes sense. And then, you know, and then you're bringing these two different worlds together and thinking, oh, this should just work out because we're in love.
Yeah.
Well, to be in love, you got to work every day at this. I think that's the biggest problem is that people assume it's a feeling that you just get.
Don't take night classes at a place that offers both financial and sex training at the same time. Right. We'd recommend that.
That is some dodgy for-profit.
Yeah, very, very dodgy. Yeah, I wouldn't trust that at all. Yeah. Snake oil at the least. So, all right, this is all good. This person should get back with us and let us know how things go because we, as always, wish for the best. When do you have any causes this week that we should throw our weight behind?
No, I'm going to pimp something. You know, that one time I pimped kiwis because they were really good.
Yeah, I remember that. And Go-Gurt, you kind of pimped Go-Gurt before.
Oh, yeah. Go-Gurt. I had a Go-Gurt the other day. They are disgusting.
They're really gross. Yeah.
What was I doing?
Yeah, what were you
risking
doing?
Risking my marriage over Go-Gurt.
Because frozen, they're so damn good, especially the light blue one.
Yeah, they're all right.
That's disgusting. Okay. Yeah, frozen's better. I'll admit that. Okay, so I'm going to pimp the Pope. I'm super into him.
You're going to pimp the Pope?
Pimp the Pope?
Yeah.
All right.
Have you read anything he's written or what the crap he's doing?
No, he's a maverick, man. He's a different pope, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah, the suspense novels and the mystery, the science fiction.
His animated gifs he makes. Yeah, all of it. No, he really is pretty pretty out there for a pope.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm digging him.
And Wendy is all about that, breaking the traditional stuff and just kind of going...
Well, and the first pope to ever name himself after Francis of Assisi, who was, you know, cared about the poor.
Yeah.
And that he's the only one who's ever thought.
He's speaking your language is what he's doing.
I know. I love him.
Yeah. And he's saying things that you're like, on the one hand, for many is very controversial. And for others are like, oh, finally, a pope who gets us.
Yeah.
Who understands my generation. I mean,
I'm not Catholic, but I have been embarrassed by the pope for years. And right. I'm suddenly like proud of him and like, this is awesome. And
it seems like a position, but it's a position in this world that can make actual dents in important issues, right?
Well, and someone with that much power to have that, a different perspective is, it's shocking. It's almost bizarre.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What are you going to do with that? Like, kind of freaks me out. I like it.
He's the Dave. Kiwis, remember that movie Dave about the guy who accidentally Kevin became Klein. President, Kevin Klein?
Yeah.
He's the Dave of real life. Like, that feels like he's not a real dude. He got in there by accident because the real Pope was having sex and had a heart attack.
Right.
And he got in there and is now faking it, but everyone loves him more because he's doing all this great stuff. That's what that feels like to me. In an odd way.
Anyway,
I love that movie.
I'm pimping him. He's awesome.
All right. Well, good stuff. So Pimp the Pope. That's awesome. I like it. That may end up being the title of today's show, I think.
And go watch Bitchy Resting Face on YouTube. You'll laugh your brains out.
Yes, watch that and listen and watch Justified because there's all kinds of good quotes like the one I gave you earlier.
That was a great one.
Wendy, have a good one. Take it easy and we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Okay. Oh, Peter's right back at it. So that was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the hell out of that. Thank you for the call or for the email, dear listener. And that brings an end to the program, everybody.
Wow. And the week.
And the week. We're done. Before we go, though, we'd like to bring Cleo in here. I don't know if she's in the chat. I have not checked.
She has been.
All right. She's right there.
Participating furiously.
See how the week went for us and them and everybody. Eden had a birthday, so we can wish her happy birthday there. Hello. Hello. Good morning.
Oh,
you just made the laugh track go. It's all your fault. Oh,
wait a minute.
No!
Hold on a second.
It. Yeah. Oh, we're waiting. Can you hear us?
I just have to kill a few things. Hold on a second.
No!
There it is, Brian.
Love it.
I have to Brian Ibbotson.
That's fine. You do.
I'm good. This is how well the Nerd Parents Show starts, too.
That's good. You got new hardware and stuff, though.
I do. Nicole was so nice. She sent me an actual mic, so I look like I know what the hell I'm doing, even though I don't.
You know, there's one thing you can say about Nicole that is true every time you say it. She is one of the most generous people I know.
She is incredibly generous.
I've never known anybody to be more giving and generous than she is. She's crazy.
And she is hilarious.
Yeah, she's
we are having so much fun on that show.
We're on next week, I think, aren't we?
You are.
Yeah.
You are. You're on next week. We had Brian Dunaway on yesterday, and we had a blast.
How was that? Oh, cool. Yeah. Can't wait to listen.
Yeah, I'll have to check that one out because we love Brian Dunaway. So, Cleo, you've been paying attention to the week, right? You know what's going on.
You know, I'm trying.
Yeah. You do a good job at that. You always come on here on Thursdays, for most Thursdays, and you kind of throw out how things went. You score a few points for a few people. So tell us how it went this week.
Okay, well, here's the first thing I'm going to do is kind of go back into the archives since it's been a while since I've been here. So I pulled up my list where I keep track of all the points, and I looked back and went, well, we dipped back into the early part of the month, so let's start back there, shall we? I'm only going to give you five of them, but there were a bunch of lines that were really good, and a lot of them have zero context, so they're even better.
Even better,
so,
yes.
Yes. So as far as TV's Egon did really great for us. When you were talking sometime earlier in the month about the guy who died from the atomic wedgie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He said that the picture in the article shows mugshots, and it's actually all five of the Fruit of the Loom guys.
Oh, man. Good. Yeah, that is pretty good.
When you were talking about the Oscars and people were talking about people walking the red carpet, Thorin mentioned that he thought it was great that Elizabeth Moss had any accident in the Manny Cam where she gave everybody the bird.
Oh, yeah, the finger, right. Yeah.
Yes, but he said how he would make it better would be next year they would have an upskirt cam on the red carpet.
That's a terrible idea.
That's a great idea.
Well, Judy Dench walks on there, is all I'm saying. Lord. And I love Dame Judy Dench, but I don't want to see up her skirt.
You don't need to go there.
Nobody needs to see that.
No. When you were doing the food segment the other day and you had all the Trek cookies that were awesome.
Oh, they were so good.
You were trying to figure out what each one of them was. TV's Egon again says, if the cookie crumbles a lot, it's a Q-hand cookie.
That's about right. John DeLance, crusty space hands, baby.
Yes.
Yeah, so from today, I don't know whether you guys paid attention when you were talking about the kid in the well.
Yeah.
Liam N. actually threw out, you know, the most common last words of someone in the South are usually, hey, y'all watch this.
It's
and,
true.
Archneer said, no, no, Liam, the actual last words are, hold my Bud Light. Very, very true.
Yeah.
And the winner for this week is Rack Shatner. When you were talking about Activia being the poop yogurt of a greater generation, he said, poop trigger, Roy Rogers' less popular horse.
That's pretty good. Poop trigger is still my favorite words uttered on the show this week.
Good stuff.
I can blame Brian for that. Nice work, Cleo. Happy birthday to Eden, by the way.
Thank you.
Have her continue to beat expectations is all we ask.
She's the best.
She really
I
is
love
the best.
Hell out of, I love poop out of that kid.
Yeah, she's that's great. Right. She's the poop triggers in our lives mean a lot to us.
That's right.
Good stuff. That's awesome. Have a great weekend. And
you too.
Let's do it again next week, okay?
All righty.
Bye
See
now.
Ya.
Bye. Bye now. Bye now. Neiman Marcus gives details on recent security breach. Brian, did you have your potential customer information ruined by Neiman Marcus's leak of personal security details?
No, all my Neiman Marcus purchases are now out there in the ether flowing
Me too.
Through hacker hands.
Damn.
Hacker hands.
Also, going to try to do a AMA next week on Reddit.
American Music Awards?
No. And Ask Me Anything on Reddit.
Oh, cool.
I've been putting this off for literally years, and people have been asking, and I think it's finally time. So that'll be fun.
Very cool.
Hey, you were nominated for a Shorty Award.
By Tom Merritt.
Tom Merritt says, because his musical selections still blow my mind, man.
All of a sudden, he's Cheech Marin.
Yeah, I love
Cheech
mine.
Marine.
I nominate Scott Johnson for a Shorty Award because he rarely stands in the poop anymore. Great.
Who said that one?
Tom. Same deal. The butt of so many jokes.
Aww.
All right.
Turn growl off.
Yeah. So let's do what we do to get out of here. I want to thank everybody who's part of the show. Don't forget, you need to support our friends at alphageekradio.com.
Yes.
Gnomewise has an Indiegogo going right now that you can support to help them fund some expansion for the audio streaming service and the stuff he's doing generally. It's really, really cool.
That's right.
He's not looking for a ton of money either. Just looking for enough to get going, and your support can make a huge difference. So go to Indiegogo.com, search for Alpha Geek Radio.
Actually,
and
you go, I put that in the show notes. It's bit.ly/AlphaGeek. We'll take you right there.
Even better.
Short. Yep. And lots of great things he's working on, including some, improvements to the streaming services and additional channels. Mm. What the what?
Yeah, I know. Stand back, everybody.
That's right.
Gnomewise is in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Go there. Facebook.com/TheMorningStream is our Facebook page. You can email us at themorningstream@gmail.com. Morningstream on Twitter for the show. Scott Johnson for me. Coverville for Brian. And speaking of Coverville, is there one today?
There will be one today, approximately 2 p.m. Mountain Time, the only time zone that matters. Mm. A big collegiate a cappella episode. So a lot of great a cappella songs from college a cappella bands with goofy names.
What is the most commonly covered a cappella song, do you think?
oh, it's whatever's, I mean, it's current stuff. So, you know, when you look at the new albums from these people, it's always stuff like, Get Lucky and, that song by Great Big World, Say Anything, and stuff like that. I mean, it's
probably that Lord song is getting some
play. Usually do. Yeah. Right. Royals. Mm. Usually 3/4 of it is going to be brand new stuff. And then the other quarter of it is going to be stuff like, Led Zeppelin or Chicago or Pink Floyd or something like that. So they got to, you know, balance it out. You know, their teacher, conductor, organizer, manager person is the old fogey who says, yeah, so now you've got to do a song from 1960. Pick one.
Yeah, exactly. They got to fill that thing out. Well, I suppose I shouldn't know.
I suppose I should have known.
Yeah, now I know.
So stick around for that. There'll be lots of great stuff there. Not just a cappella stuff, but a couple sets of other things in there as well. So listen for that.
Wonderful. That's it for us. Let's should we play a song and get the hell out
of
Dodge?
I'm amazed at the speed of Irony Man. He's taken the Wrecking Ball video, the Miley Wrecking Ball video, and put Justin Bieber's mugshot head over Miley's head. He is amazing.
Hold on. I want to see this here. I'm not seeing this yet. Why am I not seeing it? Oh, Irony Man. Oh, gosh. Yeah, what? Oh, geez. Wait, I think I got the wrong one. I got Machine Gun Naked Lady Man.
Oh, yeah, that's a different one.
Yeah, that's not the one I... Hold on. He's got so many. He's got so many here.
It's the most recent one. It's like the last... It's the most recent link in the chat.
Is it? Okay, hold on. Yeah. Oh, there it is. Dude, he is twisted. Did you see that Wrecking Ball parody from Ron Jeremy?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. I wish I hadn't seen it.
I know. Unsee.
Yes. Is there an undo button on that part of my life? Probably not.
Eye bleach.
Yeah, eye bleach.
All right. Let's get to
the
song here. Another non-request. This one also tied into an event that happened on this date in 1956 in Cleveland, of all places. Rock and roll fans in Cleveland in 1956 that were aged under 18 were banned from dancing in public unless they were accompanied by an adult.
Okay.
This was an actual law on the books. No public dancing for children, for people under the age of 18, unless they were accompanied. Yeah, where's John Lithgow?
John Lithgow in this, yeah.
Right. Mm. So in honor of that, how about a cover of Robin's Dancing on My Own?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, capitalizing on the freedom,
sure,
if you're under 18, to be dancing on your own without having parental supervision.
I like it.
This one from their brand new album, Deep Breathing. It's a great song and it's a great cover. I love the original and I love this version of it. Real Magic and Robin's Dancing on My Own.
Sounds good to me. And don't forget,
let this smart woman show you another more practical way.
Well, Brian's not the smart woman, but let smart women do that all around you. Dancing on My Own. We'll see you guys Monday for a whole new week.
Yes.
Thank you for being here. We'll see you then.
You got a new friend. Does she love you better than I can? There's a big black sky over my town. I know where you at, I bet she's around. Just gotta see it for myself. I'm in the corner watching you kiss her. Oh, I'm right over here. Why can't you see me? Oh, I'm giving it my all, but I'm not the girl you're taking home. Dancing on my messed up, I'm so out of line. Stilettos and broken bottles, I'm spinning around in circles. I'm in the corner watching you kiss her. Oh, I'm right over here, why can't you see me? Oh, I'm giving it my all, but I'm not the girl you're taking home. Ooh, I keep dancing on. So near, the lights go on, the music dies, but you can't see me standing here. I just came to say goodbye. I'm in the corner watching you kiss her. Oh, I'm giving it my all, but I'm not the girl you're taking. You kiss her. Oh, I'm right over here, why can't you see me? Oh, I'm giving it my all, but I'm not the girl you're taking home. Ooh, I keep dancing on my own.
So good, it's like you're there.
Stay tuned now for Captain Midnight.
Oh, not really. I wish. That'd be a thing I'd stay tuned for.